John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
I just want to take you to this story in the Cairns Post today, page 4. It's under the heading, Top Cop Admits Car Thefts Struggle. And it says here, the Far North Top Cop has admitted a spike in car thefts has stretched their ranks as it zeroes in on offenders and a Youth Justice Task Force kicks into a new phase. Acting Chief Super Chris Hodgman said the number of stolen cars in March had skyrocketed. He said, quote, last week we struggled. Simple as that. Police officers have pressed close to 3,000 charges this year. 3,000 charges. This is giving you a little snapshot of our so-called juvenile justice system. Anyway, he said, quote, at this stage, close to 350 juveniles and 210 adults have been put into custody. I don't know for how long. I presume in some cases it's, I don't know, 10 minutes or something, because they seem to be out quicker than the police officers have finished their shift. Anyway, he goes on to say there's been a number of young people that we've targeted in the last week. This morning we had 6 juveniles in the watch house, while 121 vehicles. This is 121 experiences of shock, misery, inconvenience, loss of money because and lots of other things stolen. Of course, how the hell do you replace them if you're struggling financially? And some little creep has visited your house with a few mates and girlfriends and whatever, taken it for a joyride, slammed it over bumps and jumps and into trees and whatever. It's not even worth picking up and restoring. So families are going through absolute hell because of this explosion in juvenile crime. These kids are 12 and 13, 14. The police, Queensland Police Assistant Commissioner Cheryl Scanlon said the focus was to help shape those re-offenders. Yeah, good luck. It's just a nightmare what's happening, and it's been allowed to get completely out of control. Now, I understand there is an organisation called Changing Cairns Crime Problems. I've only just become aware of this, and I've got co-founder of Changing Cairns Crime Problems, Joanne Borg, on the line. Hello, Joanne.
Hi, John.
How long's your organisation been in existence?
Look, it's only been a couple of months. My co-founder is Perry Conti, who I understand you've had on a couple of times. Perry's a local businesswoman who's also been a victim of crime, as have I.
Yeah, I just hadn't heard that title before. If I had, I'd forgotten it. But good on you for getting out there. What's the main point you're making about this? And you would have picked up on this account from the top police officers this morning in the Cairns Post. They're having another crack. They're saying they re-energised, changing focus, etc. But I think some people out there are going to say, oh, we've heard all this before, and fundamentally, you've got a juvenile justice system that's in complete disarray.
Absolutely. The system's broken, John. I'm an ex-employee of Child Safety. I was a senior member of Child Safety in this region for a number of years. And I'm not here to put a blight on my former colleagues by no means. But it's time for some truth-telling. In this space, if we're to get to the bottom and the core issues of what's really going on with Cairns crime problems, we need to start from the start. And I'm afraid these announcements just aren't cutting it, and they're not starting from the start. And what I mean by that is some of these announcements are made in terms of they're minimising the issues, fast victims of crime. Victims of crimes aren't represented on these task force or panels as well. That is an issue. Our voices are not heard. We're the ones that are living like prisoners in our own homes and locking our property up and having to be hyper-vigilant to some extent. Our voices need to be heard. We need to have a say. We don't want to keep hearing from the police. We know that the police are tearing their hair out. They're responding all the time to these crime issues, John. What we want to see is the child safety and youth justice systems be accountable for funding NGO services and as well as their own service delivery. So it's about what they put on paper looks wonderful, and what they the rhetoric that we're given is wonderful. However, it's what's actually put into practice that we take issue with.
I'm stymied by the number of times when we're talking about these car thieves, the term repeat offender comes up. Repeat offender, repeat again and again. How many times are they allowed to become repeat offenders? And it's a recycling system. You know, they're into the juvenile justice system, into court, out of court, straight around the corner into another car that they've stolen, another application of misery on another victim or another victim family. And no one seems to say enough is enough. If you're a repeat offender once, you'd think that'd certainly be enough. But it's just, they, you know, you talk to police about, oh, yeah, we know them all by first name. Really?
Oh, absolutely.
We know them all by first name. What's going on?
That's not okay. That is not okay, and we're saying the same thing. So, you know, some of the things we're saying are, where are the families of these children? As we know, we're talking about some children who are within the child safety system. So not all offenders are have intervention by child safety. We're not saying that. But there are a lot, unfortunately. And I am here to say that child safety aren't good parents in terms of their government system, you know, that fund services that will never, ever replace the role that families have in these children's lives. So we want to know, where are the families behind these? Where are their voices? And what we're saying is there needs to be an open public inquiry about why this isn't happening fundamentally.
People always bring up this thing. People always bring up this, oh, but, you know, the parents, mum and dad. And you know, there was a case came up recently in Maribo, if I remember rightly. There were fundamentally kids being caught for setting fire in places or stealing vehicles, breaking into homes, whatever. And when the investigation went to home, the question was asked, well, where's dad? And 10 kids
absolutely
out there, and the response was, oh, he's in jail. Well, where's your mother? She's in jail too. Well, who's looking after you? Grandma is looking after us. You know, that sometimes you've got to think, well, how the hell has this been allowed to transpire with some level of intervention to make sure these kids are getting some sort of genuine care applied to their their growing years? But this apparently can happen from time to time, and they slip through the cracks.
This is happening all the time, actually, you know, and a lot of these children have got many extended family members, aunties, uncles, older cousins, etc., you know, but these people aren't always able to participate in decision-making about their lives, especially when they're clients of child safety or youth justice.
Yeah.
You know, these are parent-focused interventions. Now, that is wrong, especially when you're talking about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children who come from very large extended families. There are members in those families who have intimate knowledge of what's actually going on in the family and who are able to speak up and come in and give a clearer picture of what's actually going on for these children in their lives. But we're not being heard as well, and I say we because that's happening in mine and my husband's own family, and I'm happy to admit that you know, we have experienced that ourselves. My husband's extended family, unfortunately, there are some young offenders within his families, and we have intimate knowledge of what's going on in terms of family dysfunction, but we're never, ever heard. We're never invited to meetings. And these announcements that were made yesterday talk about outcomes. They talk about unblocking the system. They talk about getting quality outcomes for children and young people. Well, to achieve that, I'm afraid you're going to have to work very, very differently to the way you've worked in years gone by.
Gee, this has been interesting, Joanne. The fundamental point you're making, though, is that the victims are not being represented in these matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John. And that is not okay. We're the ones who go on to suffer for years and years to come. And whether that's financially, whether that's mentally, psychologically, emotionally, we're the ones that are left with the ramifications and the consequences of this behaviour and the offending, and that is not okay.
Well, stay in touch, Joanne. You've made a heck of a lot of sense today. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Her name is Joanne Borg. She is co-founder of Changing Cairns Crime Problems.